Yeah, good afternoon, everyone, and good afternoon, people on Zoom. Yes, my name's Tim, and I, in my day job, as it were, I work for a Christian charity, and we work in schools all over the Colchester area, delivering chaplaincy and projects that are helping young people to grow in life and faith and just support them, help them have better lives, and also perhaps for some of them to help them to think a bit about the possibility that there's a God that's there for them and who loves them. And I'm going to describe a couple of the projects that we do a little bit later on. But I just want to start by saying this. At some point in all of our lives, we will be touched by the death of someone close to us. It's kind of a tragic truth about life. My most in-depth experience of that was when my mum died. That was quite a few years ago. We were fortunate in some ways. She had a cancer diagnosis. And the doctor said, we think she's got about 12 weeks, which proved to be prophetically incredibly accurate. We had 12 weeks with her. For the start of that season of last season of her life, if you like, she was on some medication, which kind of perked her up again. She was sort of full of life and energy, and she had some carers coming in. But she was up at 5 and she'd done everything by the time they got there. So all they ended up doing was a bit of washing up. But for a short while, she was kind of back to full of life. We knew that this was only temporary, but it was like a gift to us, myself and my sisters, at that time. And in the last weeks, kind of waiting for an end that we all knew was coming, I just wrote a few words, which are in the service order. I asked my wife, Diana, just to come and read them so we can hear them read to us. Diana.
Limbo. In the fading dusk of a life, we are waiting, strung out between time and eternity, between here and not here, between life and loss, between now and memory. Between holding on and letting go.
That might in some way tally with an experience that you've had, perhaps, those last few weeks of somebody's life that's close to you. Others of us would have had a very different experience than mine. Those last 12 weeks with my mum, made me appreciate the awful pain for those who don't have that last opportunity, who just get a knock on the door or a phone call that says, I've got bad news for you. A grief and loss hurts, doesn't it? It makes us confused, causes us to ask impossible questions of ourselves, of others, of life in general, and often of God. The Bible story that we had read is just a little extract from a much bigger story about Jesus and Lazarus and Lazarus' friends and a community that were mourning his loss and all of the things that were going to happen. This episode in which Jesus comes face to face with the death of a friend and all of the unfolding beliefs and hopes and reactions of his friends. The story starts with Lazarus being so ill that his friends ask Jesus to come and heal him. By the time Jesus gets there, time has passed and Lazarus has already died and been in the tomb for 4 days. Which is why at the beginning of the reading we have Mary saying, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Lord, if you'd been here. Like you can feel, perhaps even empathize with her just desperation in that moment. If you'd been here. Mary voices what so many of us have probably uttered at some point. As someone close to us is reaching the end of their lives. If I had done this, the big if question. And the Bible records if. That's one of the big questions that we have. And at the center, certainly for my reading of this, at the very center of the story is the shortest verse in the Bible. Just those two words, Jesus wept. And if we've ever wondered if God cares about death, here it is. So to help us make bit more sense of that moment, I need to give you a spoiler alert, which is that Jesus brings Lazarus back to life. So if you're not familiar with the story, spoiler alert, Jesus does bring Lazarus back to life. It's kind of, it's like a major healing, isn't it? But all of that makes this moment even more poignant, I think, because Jesus in that moment knows what he's about to do, knows that Lazarus will be alive again, even if it's only for a short time until he dies naturally again. And yet in that moment, Jesus is still overwhelmed by the grief that death brings, and he weeps. It's not just out of empathy for the friends around it, it's from his guts. The literal translation talks about, it says, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. And the better translation of that is he felt it in his guts, that awful gut-wrenching feeling that we have. This is God in the person of Jesus entering into our experience of the death of someone that we love and being overwhelmed by it just as we are. He felt that kick in the guts, that wrenching feeling, the if, and he wept. And when we look around the world that we live in, we know in our heads that death is part of life, that beginnings have endings, that one day each of us will no longer be here. That's the reality. That's how life on earth works. And yet, around death, God weeps. And God weeps with us. So when we consider our own experience of loss, know that even the God of the whole universe meets us with tears. But as much as the tears tell of the sadness, the loss, the anger, they also tell another story. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." And grief is the journey of love coping with loss. Grief is the journey of love coping with loss. Jesus' love for his friend Lazarus is revealed in the grief that's shown in his tears. Now, to divert for a moment, in our work with schools, one of the things that we do is a lesson on bereavement and loss. In fact, some of the team will be delivering that in this week coming up. It includes a short film made by young people who had lost their parents young, so lost their parents when they were just school age. In it, they talk about their loss. They interview each other. It's brilliantly very real. They talk about their experience of grief and how they supported each other through it. And one of them comes up with this phrase, "Grief helps the heart to heal." They talk about grief as being a natural process that we each have to go through. It's individual for each one of us. It's as unique and special as our own relationships with the person that has died. But what comes through most powerfully from this is that they did grief together as a bunch of young people. They looked after each other. At the point where one life has been wrenched from us, what we need most, even if we don't feel much like it at the time, is other people. We need their presence, their availability, their nearness. We need people who can listen, who don't feel they have to answer questions or ask questions or fix things. We just need our friends. Grief and remembering also needs its moments of acknowledgement. It's helpful to remember. It doesn't help to hide it. One of the standout features of grief, which you might recognize, is that life can feel very normal, and then suddenly there's a trigger that catapults us back into that moment of memory. But I want you to say, I think those are good moments when that happens. They remind us, they bring us back to the memory of that person. They kind of recreate for a moment that connection. I had a very weird one. So I'm a volunteer on a preserved railway on the other side of the country. My mum was a guard, a volunteer guard on that railway. After she died, a few years after she died, I was coming back from meeting I'd had in the north. I was travelling back from Peterborough to Ipswich, back to Colchester on the train that does that circuit through the Fens. Some of you might have done that. And we were bumbling along somewhere around March or somewhere around there. And the guard walked through the train. And the guard was a spitting image of my mum. And in that moment, I had a remembrance moment. It wasn't my mum. And I didn't tell her, because that would have freaked her out a bit. But just in that moment, there was this moment of memory and of remembrance. And actually, it was a good thing. I found it a good thing. Those moments are helpful. They connect us to the one that we've lost. And they just spark up those memories again to remember is a good thing. In that moment, I felt grateful for this unexpected prompt to remember my mum. So how do we manage grief? Well, one of the illustrations we use in that lesson that I was talking about is called the ball of grief. And I'm going to illustrate it here, which is that when grief is it's just a tangled ball of confusion and emotions, isn't it? It's the wonderful memories of that person. It's the sadness of losing them. It's the thinking back with joy and thinking ahead with sadness. It's all sorts of things. And when we lose somebody, grief fills our lives like this bundle of paper fills this little pot here. And it kind of touches every part of us in life. And for a while, it's the most painful thing because it touches all of us. But gradually, what happens is that our grief, our memories, our emotions about that person, they don't change, they don't get smaller, we don't move on from them. They travel with us still, like the sudden memory by seeing the guard on the train. It's just that our life has continued, has got a bit bigger. So now those feelings, those memories, they're still there, but they don't touch the sides quite so much. There's a little bit more room in there for other parts of life, but that person is still with us. And eventually our lives continue to grow and to move on. But grief can still be there. There's still a little bit of space for it because it's still there. That person is still special to us. They've not receded, they've not gone away. They're still with us in our memories, in our emotions, in our thoughts, in the joys, in the times we shared with them. It's just that our life has kind of got a bit bigger. So we use that illustration to talk about how grief can work, why it feels so painful to start with, but how gradually our lives expand to give it a bit more space to move around in our lives. Next week, we're going to be running a remembrance activity in a local secondary school, and it's going to give students a place where they can remember people who have died by writing a tribute or leaving it where other people can read it. Done this before, and young people often say how helpful it is just to acknowledge publicly the loss they've experienced, but also to recognise that others have been through experiences like theirs as well. So I just want to end with these three thoughts, and I just invite you to, if any of these are helpful to you, take them away. If they're not, just let them fall away. First one is that remembrance brings together the sadness of our loss with a kind of celebration of the life of that person that we're remembering. That's why it can feel so confusing sometimes, because it's both the sadness and the joy. But it helps us to keep memory alive. And so embrace those moments of memory, of reminder, when you see somebody that reminds you of the person that you've lost. Second thing is that grief is personal, but we journey best in the company of others. So it's good to talk. It's even better to listen. And it's always good to be open about life and love and loss, because we can be there for each other. And finally, no matter how clear or hazy our understanding of God and our experience of his presence, have no doubt. Faced with the death of someone we love, God understands and stands with us. We know because in the same situation, Jesus wept. Let's pause for a moment. Be still and pray. God, thank you that in our saddest moments, in our moments of greatest loss, you stand with us, you weep with us, you walk with us. May we know your presence more nearly and more closely as we continue to remember those that have been special with us. Amen.